you see people bring up toxic masculinity. A lot of times people bring it up because they just hate masculinity.
Sitting here telling men to cry more. That is why we have the problems we have in the world.
Learn how to deadlift. Learn how to squat. That's part about being a man.
The moment a man is held hostage by what this woman thinks, he has lost his masculinity.
But specifically, what toxic masculinity represents is masculinity untethered from moral accountability to other men.
Welcome to Way of Manhood. And now your host, Dr. Adam Tyson.
Welcome to Way of Manhood. My name is Adam Tyson, and I'm the host of this show as we want to talk about helping young men mature in their faith. We are looking to make godly, biblical men. That's what this show is all about. Way of Manhood is designed to address Generation Z. That's right. We want to come at you, young men, with encouragement and equip you to be the kind of men that God is calling you to be. Young men, did you know that you have one of the most helpful resources in the world that's only a conversation or a text away? Again, I'm talking about your dad. Your dad, that's what we're talking about. You have examples in your dad, and you need to take advantage of it. And this is like a secret weapon of how you can mature in biblical masculinity. And while maybe not everybody has a Christian dad, and maybe not everybody even has a dad in the home as you were growing up, but if you did, I want to encourage you to look to your dad, to talk to your dad. If you're still living at home, if you've just moved out, just remember your dad is not some kind of ancient, out of touch, incapable of instilling wisdom to you in today's world. Your dad's been around the block, and your dad is an incredible blessing. In fact, the wisest man who ever lived, we've been talking about Solomon, talks to us about listening to our dads. Listen to what Solomon said in Proverbs 1, 8, and 9. He says, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction." So that's just telling us we got to hear his instruction, right? We want to forsake not our mother's teaching, for they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck. So he's saying here, there's a lot of treasure in the wisdom. It makes you look good. It prepares you for life. And so I have a question for you today, young man. What kind of things did you learn from your dad? Did your dad teach you how to be a godly man? Did your dad set an example for you? If not, that's okay. We can still look at the men of the Bible and other men at church, but some of us did have faithful fathers. Some of you today have a faithful Christian dad. And I've been paying a tribute to my dad. Passed away a few months ago. I was able to speak at his funeral. I've been thinking through things that he did that made a difference in my life. I miss my dad so much. He was an incredible father. I learned so much from him. And so in our last show, I shared with you two things I learned from my dad. In this show, I'm going to share with you three more. Last show, we talked about how my dad clearly explained to me the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I shared my testimony, how my dad led me to the Lord by sharing with me the meaning of Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. I also shared with you last time about how my dad taught me about the true meaning of meekness. You know, sometimes we think about being large and in charge, but meekness is a biblical characteristic. In fact, it's a Christ-like characteristic. In 2 Corinthians 10:1, Paul says that we need to learn about the meekness and the gentleness of Christ. And so meekness, it's not a feminine characteristic. It doesn't mean you're a wimp. Remember, meekness is power under control. You take all the strength that God's given you and you use it efficiently and you use it in a way that would be a blessing to others. And my dad taught me about the true meaning of meekness. Let me move on to a third thing that I learned from my dad. Number three, my dad taught me how to work hard to the glory of God. I mean, hopefully any dad's going to teach his boys how to work. My dad just so happened to major in that. That was a major emphasis of his throughout my lifetime. And when I think about work, I think about sometimes even passages like Colossians 3, 23 and 24 says, "Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ." Now, I think that passage is really covering the gamut of everything that we do. So not just doing good works, like Ephesians 2:10 talks about that God's prepared good works that we would walk in them, Christian works. I think that every work could be considered something that we ought to do heartily, because Colossians 3:23 again says, "Whatever you do, work heartily." That means we ought to not be slacking off, right? We have too many young men today that are just plain lazy. And my dad taught me how to work. In fact, that's what we did on Saturdays. He called Saturday a work day. And I didn't necessarily like that as a kid growing up. You know, I'm like, Dad, I don't want to work today. You know, I need some time off. And my dad was like, oh, no. Saturday's a work day. In fact, son, work is fun. That was one of his mottos. Work is fun. And I'm like, Dad, work is not fun. Work is work. And he's like, no, it's about an attitude adjustment. That if you can see work as fun, it'll help motivate you to do something productive with your life. I mean, I just wanted to sit around like any kid and watch cartoons on Saturday morning. I wanted to play on my brand new original Nintendo. I wanted to play Super Mario Brothers and Duck Hunt. That's what I thought Saturdays were about. And while my dad might let me play for a few minutes here and there, overall, he made it clear, Saturday, we're going to have breakfast and we're going to get out and work. And so one of the things we did is we worked out in the garden. My dad grew up on a farm. And so in our home, we were in a subdivision that we had a pretty big backyard. And part of that backyard was turned into a garden where we were out there pulling weeds, planting vegetables, harvesting tomatoes, digging potatoes, you know, doing all the stuff that you do with a garden. I mean, this garden was no joke. It was going to supply enough food for us and the neighborhood. So my dad taught me how to work. My dad taught me how to cut firewood. Man, at our house, he didn't want to use the furnace, the electric furnace in the winter cost more electricity. And so we had a wood-burning stove, and you got to have wood. So we're not going to just buy the wood at the store. No, we're going to go out and cut wood. And so my dad would teach us how to go out. He would ask people who had land, if he saw a tree falling down or realized there was a clearing somewhere, he would just stop and ask them, hey, do you mind if I come out with my boys and we grab some wood? And oftentimes they would say, hey, go for it. And so my dad taught me how to cut wood. I mean, we would head out in the truck and he would have the chainsaw and my brother and I would be loading up these big chunks of wood and splitting wood. That's probably my funnest part was splitting wood once he let me use the mole and lift it up over my head and split that green wood and stack it up. But my dad, he just worked hard. I mean, I remember thinking that chainsaw is never going to stop until it would either run out of gas or he would get it pinched. And then we could take a breather while he refueled the chainsaw or while we helped him get the chainsaw out from being stuck. But my dad, he taught me how to cut wood. He taught me how to work. My dad taught me how to scout cotton. That's another thing that we would do. My dad would teach us about the importance of having a job. You know, it's like, hey, as I got older, and you know, you can either work at Hardee's. That was the only burger joint there in my town. There were no Starbucks back then. You could work in the grocery store, or he's like, "Hey, son, you can work out in the fields. You know, you could be out in God's creation." And so he taught me how to scout cotton, which is where we would walk out through a cotton field and look at the tops of the plants. What's called a plant terminal, where all the budding is taking place of the new growth, and we would look for worms, and we would look for the boll weevil, and we would help report to the farmer whether or not he needed to spray that field. That was hard work. I mean, we would get out in the morning, and we wouldn't come back until late at night. It was rain or shine. My dad, he worked hard. He expected us to work hard, and I learned how to work hard from watching my dad work hard. No matter what I was doing, if we were working together, he was doing it twice as fast. And so my dad didn't just tell me to do it. He was an example to me. He showed me how to do it. And then even with working, where we're talking about working, my dad taught me as part of this with work, you know, you're going to make money, right? You're going to make minimum wage. You're going to get paid whatever you get paid for the work that you do. And my dad taught me about the 80-10-10 principle. You ever heard about that? The 80-10-10 principle. Instead of taking all of my money and going blowing it on just entertainment, you know, my dad would say, look, you need to give 10% to the Lord. You should probably spend 10% on whatever you want, but just 10%, mind you. And then you save the other 80%. I mean, one day you're going to be a dad, right? One day you're going to have to buy your own car. One day you're going to have the funds to do something. And so, you know, I love how my dad would just instill this in me at an early age, you know, to work hard and to use your money well as a good steward, like 2 Corinthians 9:6-7 says. The point is, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one of us must give as he has decided in his own heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. My dad taught me that. He taught me a lot about it's about your attitude. So work hard with the money that you make. Make sure you set aside some of that to spend and that you are giving. And so as I kind of like matured through my life and worked bigger jobs and more important jobs, I mean, my first real job was I became a physician's assistant and I worked in cardiovascular and thoracic surgery in Savannah, Georgia, where my job was to harvest the greater saphenous vein out of the leg and then use that as a conduit for bypass surgery. And I'm telling you, my dad prepared me for hard work because I was working often 60, 70, 80 hours a week. There were days I didn't even see the sun come up because I was already in the operating room before sunrise and I didn't get home till late after sunset. I went a whole week without even seeing the sun. And when I think about working hard those long hours, I would think, you know what? My dad prepared me for this. You know, my dad helped me work hard throughout my life so that it wasn't such a shock to me when I entered into the workforce. You know, I love passages like 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. So I'm saying that we want to work hard in our job, but our job's also a calling, that we can see anything that we do is that we're working in the Lord for His glory. And my dad put those two things together, hard work and doing it for the Lord. It's the same thing. So don't go away. We'll be right back in a minute. And I want to share with you two more things that I learned from my dad.
And thanks for tuning in to Way of Manhood. You know, we've been talking about learning from our dads, talking about how to be patient. And if we're being honest, patience is not something that's easy, especially when it comes to our struggles. I'm going to tell you about a resource that is available in the Fortis store right now at fortisinstitute.org that has been helping lots of young men. It's called Addictive Habits, Changing for Good by David Dunham. And I know what you're thinking, Jimmy, I don't have an addiction. But hear me out, if you will, because this book's not just about hardcore addictions. It's about those habits that we all struggle with, the ones that start as a choice, but soon they start defining us and defining our lives. Maybe it's constantly checking your cell phone. Maybe it's binge watching Netflix instead of studying the way you're supposed to. Maybe it's spending hours in front of the video game. Or maybe it's even struggling with the more serious issues. This book, it dives into how we can break free from those habits through the power of God's Word. Now, speaking of transformation, I want to tell you about the Masters University. Some of the things that Dr. Tyson has been talking about, TMU is all about equipping you with those very same skills. They have so many things that are available right now. As a matter of fact, they were just ranked as the number 6th ranked institution in the country by the Wall Street Journal for career preparation. Hey, that's a really big deal. Whether you're into business, whether you're into science or some other field, TMU is serious about preparing you for success. And what truly sets them apart is that they're committed to Christ and the inerrancy and infallibility and sufficiency of Scripture. So you're going to get a top-notch education and spiritual growth all in one place. There's no better place than TMU. Check it out now at masters.edu/manhood. And hey, while we're talking about growth, I want to invite you to become a Fortis Insider. What is that? Well, you get daily biblically grounded content that is coming straight to your email inbox. And these video teachings and articles and podcasts, all of these things that are going to come to you will help you in your growth as a man. Sign up to become a Fortis Insider right now at fortisinstitute.org. And if you're finding value in Way of Manhood and you want to see more content like this, would you consider becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? Because it is your support that helps us reach young men all over with God's truth and equip them to live it out. It's a great way to invest in raising up the next generation of godly young men. Find out more about becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner right now at fortisinstitute.org. And now let's get back to the conversation with Dr. Adam Tyson as he continues to talk about things he learned from his dad. This is Way of Manhood. Welcome back to Way of Manhood.
American men really are in crisis. You can look at the number of men committing suicide, the number of men struggling with depression, the number of fatherless homes.
And now back to your host, Dr. Adam Tyson.
Welcome back to Way of Manhood. Well, I've been sharing with you in the first part about how my dad taught me how to work hard for the glory of God. Let me share with you a fourth and even a fifth thing I learned from my dad. Number four, my dad taught me to be a critical thinker with biblical discernment. I mean, that was real important for my dad, is that I would think logically, that I would think critically, that I would understand that consequences come to certain ideas. And that my dad, he was a teacher. So this is kind of inbred in him. He just naturally liked teaching, and it's what he did as a profession. He taught biology. And so he was passionate about teaching. He was passionate about teaching me about biology. And he was particularly interested, as you might imagine, in Christian creation, the biblical doctrine of creation as a biologist. You know, so as a kid, I would learn things about how in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And he would tell us all the time, God made all things. And he would show us the beauty of nature when we would walk out in the woods. My dad taught me all kinds of stuff, but he wanted me to be a critical thinker, particularly I'm getting at here with this biblical discernment about biology and about creation. Because when I was in the eighth grade, I had an incredible science teacher at a public school who was a Christian, who I had a lot of respect for because he's also one of my football coaches. He taught earth science. But one day this professor, this teacher, eighth grade science said, you know, was talking about evolution. And he was talking about how a lot of Christians have problems with evolution. But maybe, he said, maybe God created the earth through the Big Bang. Now, I didn't know it at the time, but he's kind of introducing the idea of what we call theistic evolution, that maybe you can believe in God and believe in evolution at the same time. And he proposed that as a helpful compromise between those of us who had faith and those of us who were learning about science. And I remember it just kind of bothered me a little bit, because I'm like, well, my dad never said anything about God creating through the Big Bang. So I went home and talked to him about it that night. And I'm like, Dad, what do you think about this? And my dad said, look, I like your teacher. He seemed to be a good man. He's simply just not teaching you what the Bible has to say. You know, when it comes to theology, theology is the queen of the sciences. Now, that means that theology trumps everything, that God trumps everything through the authority of Scripture. And my dad just opened up the Bible and began to explain to me about creation. He said, look right here in Genesis chapter 1, son, on day 1, let there be light. On day 2, God created the heavens above and the waters below. On day 3, there's plants and shrubs and trees. On day 4, there's the sun, moon, and stars. On day 5, there's the birds of the air and the fish of the sea. On day 6, there's land animals and cattle and creeping things and human beings created in the image of God. And so he was explaining to me, son, part of the problem why evolution and biblical creation would never fully jive is that the order of evolution is completely different than the order of creation in Genesis 1. You know, I mean, evolutionists are going to say something like, after the Big Bang, you know, in the universe, there was some organic matter that somehow became a prokaryotic cell that developed into a eukaryotic cell that developed into an amoeba that developed into some life form that developed eventually into an amphibian and then to a reptile and then a bird and a mammal. And then, you know, human beings came from a monkey. So that's kind of how evolution goes. Well, creation doesn't jive with that at all. I mean, in creation, first of all, we have 6 literal 24-hour days referred to in the scripture of that there was evening and there was morning on the first day, and then that there was evening and there was morning on the second day. And a Hebrew word yom there, when it says there was the first day, second day, only and always refers to a 24-hour day. Anytime in addition to that, that there's the descriptor of morning or evening, the Bible's talking about a 24-hour day. So my dad was just saying, listen, the whole problem with evolution is that it takes too long. They believe in gradualism, that things are formed and evolved over time to the point that you get the world that we live in today as far as nature is concerned. And the problem with that is we really just don't have any transitional fossils. You know, if we can go out and see fossils of things from the ancient world and things of the present day world, you ought to be able to see a transition over time of, you know, fish becoming amphibians and amphibians becoming reptiles and then somehow jumping from reptiles to birds and mammals. And the problem is we just don't have those kind of transitional fossils. Not only that, but carbon-14 dating is just somewhat suspect. You know, the whole idea of radioactive material and a half-life, you know, scientists treat it as if there's no problems with it. My dad taught me about an experiment where some guys buried some stuff in Colorado, and then they left it there for like 2 or 3 years, and then dug it up, took it into the lab to run carbon-14 dating on it, and it showed that it was billions of years old, you know, or maybe millions of years old. It was only like 2 years old. So I'm just saying that the carbon-14 dating is not necessarily 100% accurate. You know, my dad would talk to me about, what about the Colorado River digging through layers of rock and the Grand Canyon? You know, he was just saying those strata of the rock formations in the Grand Canyon seemed to be created in a quicker way, like by something like a worldwide flood. Again, how about just the most simple thing? Again, did human beings evolve from a monkey? You know, if so, that of all things should be a place where we see transitional fossils. Not only should we see transitional fossils, but to follow the logic, you ought to see apes that are in the process of becoming humans even today. So you should see something like, you know, the Planet Ape movie, where you've got apes who are talking and able to kind of slowly transition over time. And the problem is we just don't have these things. So my dad just taught me a lot about being discerning when it comes to the truth about creation, being discerning when it comes to the truth about things like homosexuality. What does the Bible say about that? If science doesn't really support that, and I'm just letting you know it doesn't, any type of study you see about that was just going to try to prove something that can't be proven, because, you know, we make choices about who we are. And I'm going to talk more about homosexuality in future shows, but I'm just saying that the science really isn't there. How about transgender? My goodness, you know, you're either XX or XY chromosome. So my dad just taught me to say, hey, son, take everything that's being said, compare it to scripture, and be discerning. You know, my dad in teaching me about being discerning, you know, would teach me just to pay attention to detail. You know, discern what's really going on here, what would be true and what would not be true. Let me move on to a fifth thing that my dad taught me, is that my dad taught me that patience is a virtue that honors God. As young men, sometimes, man, we live in a gotta have it right now type society, right? Everything's on demand. You can watch movies on demand. You can order things from Amazon on demand. You know, it used to be you get things from Amazon 2 days later. You can get it next day. There's even some places you can order Amazon. It comes same day. So, you know, we just kind of live in that culture. My dad was good about teaching me that patience is a virtue. You know, like good things come to those who wait. You know, like it's in the Bible, son. Galatians 5:22 and 23 is one of the fruit of the Spirit, right? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And so my dad, he just seemed to always be so patient. And he taught me to be patient too. It seemed to, like, he was patient in everything he did. And through all of life, I've learned that I need to be more patient like my dad. You know, Psalm 27:14 says, wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. We need to learn to wait on God to move in our lives and in our situations in ways that would honor Him. We need to be patient with others. You know, we need to know that good things do come to those who wait. Be patient in pursuing the right career for you. You know, my first year of college, I felt like dropping out because I felt like it was so hard. And my dad's like, look, if you're going to get a good career, you got to be patient. You got to work through, you know, your bachelor's degree and a master's degree and postgraduate degrees. My dad taught me about being patient and investing money. You know, take out an investment in a Roth IRA. He taught me about being patient in marriage. Son, don't just date girls to date them. You need to be patient, pick the right one that loves God, one that will make a great wife, one that is a gift from God. And so my dad taught me about patience. Patience is a virtue. Patience honors God. Patience is a tool that God uses to teach you to depend upon Him. And so these are some things that I learned from my dad. And one of my favorite verses that my dad taught me was Jesus speaking about being the vine, right? In John 15:5, I am the vine, you are the branches, and whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. And so my dad, he wasn't a preacher, but he taught me so much. I would say that my dad's life was like a sermon to me, because sometimes things are more caught than taught. And I just want to challenge you today that you would look to your dad and that you would learn the lessons that he's teaching, not only in what he says, but in what he does. Let me pray for us as we close our show today. God, thank you for the opportunity to encourage young men to ultimately look to Christ in Scripture, but also so many of us have a fantastic resource in our dads. God, forgive us for at times just ignoring them or dishonoring and disobeying them. And I pray for that young man, even though he's transitioning into full adulthood, that he would have a respect for his dad, that he would want to look to his dad, listen to his dad, observe his dad. And I pray that you would help him to learn the lessons that you want him to learn, maybe just by watching his dad, that he would be able to follow his dad, hopefully as the dads out there are following Christ. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This has been Way of Manhood from Dr. Adam Tyson, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Way of Manhood with Dr. Adam Tyson, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.